It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up in our Wisconsin Life segment, we'll hear about an annual barn dance and then learn about square dancing here in Wisconsin.
First, musician Chris Plata has earned a reputation across the Midwest for his deaf guitar work and singing on tunes ranging from Tex-Mex polkas and country rock to Mexican ballads.
But Plata first came to the Midwest as the son of migrant field laborers who spent grueling hours picking crops like cotton, vegetables, and fruit.
These experiences shaped his music and his life, both of which are chronicled in a new bilingual English-Spanish biography for young readers called Chris Plata From Fields to Stage, written by Maya Serdum.
Chris Plata joins us now in the studio. Chris, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I've seen you perform around Madison over the years. I didn't know your story. In your early years, you lived on a farm in Texas, then your parents became migrant workers. What are some of your childhood memories from going from place to place with your parents?
Basically, it was kind of tough to put into words because we were very poor. So it was basically just a struggle that we always had from moving from place to place. But, you know, I don't want to paint a dire picture because there was a lot of fun in some of the things that we did, which didn't include lots of things to do, but we always had music. So that was always one of the things that was I remember the most about growing up was the music my family played.
What were some of your first musical memories of your family playing or of you picking up an instrument?
The first thing I remember was when I was a small child, my father playing the guitar with some of his friends and then also teaching my oldest brothers how to play and sing. My mother was a singer. Not a professional singer, but she always instructed us on how to sing properly.
And what was it like being a kid? Your parents are out picking cotton early on, later in the Midwest, other products. When did you start working yourself as a child?
I got my Social Security when I was 10 years old and put to work driving a tomato planter in Tipton, Indiana. That was the first job that I ever held in my life.
10 years old. Were you staying on one farm at the time, or did you go from farm to farm then still?
We worked for a canning company, Stokely Van Camp, out of Tipton, Indiana, and all the tomatoes that they planted and harvested were for their ketchup line.
So what were some of the challenges of being a kid, moving from place to place, working on these farms? Were you able to go to school?
I would start school in Texas, and then my family would pull me out, and then I'd enroll in school in the other states that we went to. So it was difficult in the sense that I always was uprooted and had to learn how to make friends on my own terms, because it was difficult in the sense that I was the only migrant, I was the only minority going to like an all Caucasian school. So it made me very self-conscious as a kid. So that was the hard part for me.
But it made you learn to make friends, which might have been hard at the time. Does that serve you as a musician now? You have to make friends with a new audience every night?
Well, sometimes the audiences can be very intimate, which is the old joke of when not too many people show up for a gig, you know, musicians say, well, how was the crowd? Well, very intimate.
The band outnumbers the crowd sometimes.
That's right.
Intimate's a great word. It's like cozy real estate.
Correct.
Well, what were your first impressions of Wisconsin?
The people. They were totally different than the Texan people and other places, Florida and Indiana, that I went to. They were, it seemed to me, maybe this was just, looking at it a little bit different, but they were very friendly, and I always felt very at ease with Wisconsin people for whatever reason, and friends became easy to make here, and I was accepted very quickly in a lot of the communities, a lot of the schools that I went to. People went out of their way to make me feel at ease.
Now, you went from farm to farm in Wisconsin for a while, and you were, I gather, going from Texas, working your way up to Wisconsin. Now you have some farmland here in Wisconsin. When did you know that you wanted to have a piece of farmland in the state to call your own?
Well, I always wanted a place because I always loved horses. I could never afford horses as a young kid because that was out of the question because we didn't have money for that. And then when I married my wife, who is from the Columbus, Wisconsin area, her father has a farm that has a farm that's been there for over 100 years, and sold it to her brother, and then her brother sold us a little bit of land. And since my wife is a veterinarian, we always had some horses, so it was one of those things that it became a childhood dream that came to reality when I was able to purchase a couple of horses and then tend to them, and then also have a grove of fruit trees and be able to plant my old vegetable garden. So that was the thing that I really enjoy about living in Wisconsin, that it has allowed me the opportunity to fulfill one of my dreams.
And you grew up with music as really a main form of entertainment. When did you know that you wanted to be a musician? You wanted to do this for your calling?
I spent a semester in school in Austin, Texas, and instead of attending classes, I went to all the night spots and got in with a lot of the musicians and saw some great performers. And then right there, it was around 1973 that I decided, well, I'm going to try this as a living or whatever, because I had been writing songs for a while, and then I finally saw it done correctly, and I said, well, I want a piece of that.
Well, I think I read some family reaction, you know, your family saying, we've been trying to become non-migrants and settle down somewhere for so long. Why would you take up this musical career that is a different form of migrant labor?
Correct. They wanted me not to be traveling so much, and here I was turning into a professional migrant musician.
Well, I want to listen to a song. Before we do, talk about the song Tequila Mockingbird. I understand it was inspired from experience when you were somebody you met when you were 10 years old.
Yes, we lived in a migrant camp in Tipton, Indiana, and there was a woman there who treated me really nice, always took care of me when my folks were out working. And she had lots of friends that visited her, and it wasn't until I was a grown man that I figured out what was really going on, and so that was the inspiration for Tequila Mockingbird.
We'll give it a little listen.
Singing the sweetest back alley song that you ever heard. Oh, Tequila Mockingbird. Singing the sweetest back alley.
So when we think of migrant labor, if we think of migrant labor, I think probably people imagine all the downside and the hardship, and that's real, I know. But were there a lot of people, whatever they were doing, that made it a positive experience, that were people you connected with along the way?
The positive experience was that you got to see how life really is, and also I got exposed to a lot of different music, a lot of great musicians. So I took that away from my experience with it was going to school without really knowing it. Mm-hmm.
We're talking with migrant worker turned musician Chris Plata, turned farmer too, Chris Plata, who with his band Extra Hot plays Tex-Mex polkas, country rock, swing tunes, and Mexican ballads in venues across the Midwest and beyond. He's based near Columbus, Wisconsin, and he's the subject of a new bilingual English-Spanish book for young readers. It's called Chris Plata, From Fields to Stage. We're talking with Chris Plata. He is a migrant farm worker turned musician here in Wisconsin. He's known for his unique blend of Tex-Mex, polkas, country rock, Mexican ballads. He plays around Wisconsin, the Midwest, and beyond. He's the subject of a new bilingual English-Spanish book for young readers called Chris Plata, From Fields to Stage. Chris, you've said when you came to Wisconsin, you fell in love twice. Can you talk about your two great loves since arriving here?
Well, one was, first of all, was with the such beautiful green, verdant landscape and the people. And then there was a certain young lady that I met. I actually went to school with her and didn't know her. She was a grade ahead of me. And then finally, when we started working out in the fields combining peas, she was one of the first women to ever drive a combine. And so that was where I met my wife, Ann, who's from Wisconsin, so that's one of the reasons why I stayed in Wisconsin.
And I understand she's in your band as well?
Yes, she became the de facto bass player because the person that I'd hired at my first recording session wanted $300 per song, and that was out of my budget. So I said to Ann, you know, you always were a good guitar player. Can you play bass? And she goes, I don't know, but I'll give it a shot. So And she became one of the best bass players that I've ever heard. I got her a really good instructor. The drummer Clyde Stubblefield really helped her out to become a really good bass player. So she always says she got her education on the stage.
And so you've been playing with her in the band ever since?
Correct. Since like 1989 is when we first started the group Extra Hot. And it was named Extra Hot because we wanted to name it Flash Flood, but Clyde Stubblefield said he would not play in a band called Flash Flood.
So you were in the band together, and you also farmed together. Can you tell us a little bit about your farm?
Basically, it's just kind of like a little truck farm, and most of the vegetables and fruit that are grown are just for our consumption. We make salsa and put up all our vegetables and the cherries and things of that nature. So it's not really a big farm. Maybe it's like 2 acres or whatever, and then we keep our horses at my brother-in-law's pasture. We rent a pasture from him. So it's just kind of to keep me out of trouble or whatever and just keep my hands. And I love growing stuff. So this allowed me the opportunity to keep my hand in that.
I apologize, but is the salsa extra hot?
Well, yes, it is, because I grow these peppers that are from New Mexico called Santa Fe, and they're extremely tasty, but they are a little on the hot side.
Now, I understand you've found it important to use environmentally friendly farming practices on your truck farm. Was this shaped by your early experiences working on farms around the country?
Yes. When I was growing up, a lot of the pesticides that have now been discovered to not be good for you were being sprayed on us on a consistent basis, you know, to keep the pest down, and herbicides and things of that nature. DDT was sprayed on our camp where we lived just to keep the mosquito population down. And we used to run into it, and, you know, because it looked like fog, and we're running around and it's saying, oh, this is really cool, not knowing that it was DDT.
And I read in the book, I don't know if this happened to your family, but some of the workers from Mexico who came to work in the fields were actually sprayed with pesticides as a preventative, I guess, when they came into the country?
Well, they kind of thought that they were de-licing them and things of that nature. But I have read that, and it was, you know, I guess a lot of the workers felt like they were treated like cattle, you know, because you do that when you're running them through the chutes and things of that nature. But I can see where it was humiliating for them. But that, I don't really know why they did it, but it was a common practice to maybe de-lice them or whatever.
Well, I want to get a taste of another one of your songs. This one inspired by your family. Ziggy Dreams in Color is the album, and this song is Mi Sueño. Am I saying that right?
Correct.
Let's give a listen.
Cuando yo la miro, tengo la esperanza de llegar a ser su dueño.
Now, this song has a story.
Yes, I was recording the album Ziggy Dreams in Color. And my mother had passed away, so my father sent me a letter and a little cassette tape, and he said, I know you're recording a CD, and I've written a song for your mother. And my father was a songwriter many, many years ago, and he had an accident where he lost some fingers, and he stopped playing and singing. So when this cassette came with a letter, I was I opened it up, and then I looked at it, and it said, I want you to record this song that I wrote for your mother. And I was very hesitant to put it on the cassette player because if it was really bad, you know, how was I going to tell my father, no, I don't want to record this? But when I did listen to it, it was the finest gift that he ever gave me as a father, because it was just a song that was written in the style of the 1940s corridos and rancheras. And great song. And I open all my shows that I do now with that song, and people just get up and dance. So it's that was really nice that my father was able to pull one last song out of his life and give it to me.
And your father has since passed away. This is about your mother. What do you feel when you play that song on stage?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you're a singer, you try to get in the emotion of the song. And a lot of times it's very difficult to get through the song because you picture your mother as a young woman and then your dad writing the song about her. So it kind of chokes me up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how you get through it.
Well, it's after a while, once the that's the thing about like Mexican music and bluegrass music, you always go through all these lyrics that are all about killing and, you know, all that stuff. And the melody behind it is always so happy. So that's how I get through it, by listening to the happy melody.
Well, you have your feet in so many cultures, the native cultures of Mexico, the European cultures of Mexico, the United States, from Texas on into Wisconsin. This is honored in the new book, From Fields to Stage. How do these cultures shape you and your music?
The way I look at it, it's a long journey that we've all been on. That's what I'm calling my new CD, Migration Road. And it's kind of a funny story because for Christmas, my wife got me a DNA test from the Genome Project from the National Geographic Society. And so it was interesting to find out all of the backgrounds that went into getting me to where I am now. So that was very interesting.
Chris, looking forward to the new CD, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That was Chris Plata, Wisconsin musician with his band Extra Hot. They're known for their blend of Tex-Mex polkas, country rock, swing tunes, and more. The new book, a biography of Chris, it's called Chris Plata, From Fields to Stage.